Let's talk about Target Circle. By the way, it's the same program that you know and you love and you use, but now with automatic deals. Here's the thing. The all-new Target Circle, it's the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. Maybe you don't have it. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will automatically be applied at checkout. It's already been awesome. Now it's awesomer, if that's a word. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Hey, it's Amy Brown here to talk about St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. For 60 years, St. Jude doctors and researchers have helped push the overall childhood cancer survivor rate from 20% to more than 80%. But we need your help getting that number to 100%. And most important, your support means that families will never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food. Now, that peace of mind means so much. So join me in helping St. Jude in the fight against childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope and text Bobby to 785-833. That's B-O-B-B-Y to
785-833.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Bobby Bones.
Transmitting
right
across America.
Turn it up. Yeah.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
Let's go.
Welcome to Wednesday's show. Morning, studio.
Morning.
All right, let's go around the room. He's a black and white movie geek, and he's the oldest on the show, so he could be considered an antique. It's Producer Eddie. Oh, yeah.
Hey, I was walking by Mike D's desk and realized he's got like a bunch of bills, like money. 20s and 10s and maybe even 100. Like, what? I remember like there was a point where we were just, it was like a penalty or something. We'd have to give him money, but how do, like, where's that game?
No idea. Don't know what the game is.
And the money's still
I've
there.
I've also seen the money. I don't know if you guys were, like, playing a game against me. I don't know, so I didn't ask.
Do you remember, Mike?
Up with the money?
Here it is. The rule worked. It's if you forgot something and you restated it after somebody just said something, you had to pay $20. And since we instated that, no one's messed up except for two people.
Who are the two people?
Lunchbox and Amy. Oh, no, Eddie and Amy.
Oh, boy.
So, if you're not listening, and then you jump back in and ask the same question, you have to pay the fine. I remember that. So how does the money get awarded to someone?
We were supposed to get it to $100 and then decide what to do with it, but we've never gotten to $100.
Where is it?
It's just on my desk.
No, like, what's the amount now? Do you
$40.
Know? Of just their money?
Yeah.
We should play for it.
Yeah. Like, it's $40, man. I walk by and I'm just like, what is that money?
End of the week, we'll play for the money. We'll see if anybody falls victim during the week. Yes, Amy?
Okay, and it's if you're questioning it sort of right after it was said, because since this is already a thing and now Eddie's asking what it is that him restating?
No, it was like Bobby just said, like, I was driving a blue car yesterday, and then Eddie came back and said,
What color was the car? Got it.
Like he wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, you're not paying attention.
And then brought it up as new.
Yeah, but if enough time goes by, we can ask what color the car was, because we forget.
So what are we going to do with the money?
There was a period of time where everybody was forgetting and saying something right after somebody, like, I just said that.
Got it. Okay, so end of the week, we'll play a game or something, and somebody will get the money.
Okay. What part of the week? Just kidding.
Oh, Amy has to say $20 more.
He said end of the week. I know.
Hey, was that real?
I don't know. I think she's just getting herself a saver. All right, moving on. His opinions are always very strong, and he just asked people at a restaurant to get up and leave from their table because they were sitting too long. Lunchbox!
So back in 2022, we had Barbara Corcoran on from Shark Tank, and Ray had a great pitch for her. About he wants to have some, I don't even understand what it was, some bar tab thing. Here's Ray pitching to Barbara Corcoran.
Yeah, Barbara, let me introduce you to Put It On My Tab. We're a bar tab service similar to Afterpay and Layaway for clothing. At the end of the night, college kids just say, put it on my tab, and they pay later. There's a $10 fee to use the service. Max limit is $500. Bars will benefit because these kids are going to overspend. I need $20,000 for the app. If you're not interested, do you think this would work?
I think it would work, and I am interested. And I think you're mostly underestimating the $20,000. It's going to cost you at least $150 before you get through, and I'm not putting that much money in, but I'll give you $20.
Wow! Yeah! Look at Ray! The idea of the day!
Yeah! And so Ray came on earlier this week and was like, oh my gosh, Tab X stole my idea. Tab X stole my idea. Bad news for Ray, Tab X was created in 2019.
So Ray could have stolen the idea from Tab X.
Ray may have stole their idea. He pitched to Barbara 3 years after they launched.
I mean, I'm guessing it took them a while to build that up where they could afford to advertise and stuff. So maybe that's at the ground floor when it started, but I had no idea about it. Hand on the Bible.
Well, Lunchbox said he invented tearaway pants 30 years after tearaway pants were invented. And then he got mad.
Dude, it was in fifth grade, Reed Elementary School. It was in Invent America. And I said, man, I want tearaway pants because I go to school in long pants and then it gets hot. So I need shorts. So I invented where you tear them away at the knees. And they told me, dumb idea. But Michael Cox invents a cup holder, and that's what they say was the best invention in our school.
He's still mad at Michael Cox. Michael Cox. I'm sure the cup holder was a bit different than just a cup holder.
Yeah. I know, just one that hung in your car. And I'm like, don't they already have cup holders?
It hung?
Yeah.
Oh, those are cool.
Those are pretty
extra
cool.
Extra one? Yeah.
Did he make a bunch of money off that?
I don't know if he did, but he ended up going to like Rice University. Real smart guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ray, I'm sorry though, buddy. That wasn't your idea.
Yeah, it's all right.
All right, moving on. She's willing to try anything if you let her, like going to see a doctor in the woods just to feel better. It's Amy!
So we all use Life 360 for tracking, like with my kids. Like you can see where they are at any given time. I can see the speed.
That's... Like all in your house, not all of us.
Yeah. Sorry.
I don't have it.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't have that.
Okay.
Okay. Well, like, for example, I get updates like, oh, your daughter was just driving 53 in a 40.
We would love to have that, though, of just you. And we get your Life 360.
Okay, well.
Amy just backed into a fire hydrant.
The cool part is now my son has gotten really into tracking his sister. And he always knows when she's on the move. Like, even if she's just walking around the house, he's giving me play-by-play. He's like, I can see that she's at home. She must be walking around the house. But he's great. Like, it's one of his favorite pastimes now. So anytime we're out and about and I'm like, oh, hey, oh, I can't get a hold of Sashira. He's like, 1 second, please. So I don't even have to take the time to get out my phone. Like, he's already on it. Like, he's like, oh, she's driving down this road right now.
Is it because he can tell on her?
No, I think it's just one of his things that he's into.
It's a hobby of his.
Yes.
Didn't they get approached about putting something on their car for insurance reasons?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, me.
Eddie did it, and then I signed up for it, too, because I realized you can save money.
I didn't sign up for it, though, because people were just kind of... I guess there are all different kinds. There's an app that you can have on your phone. There's a tracker on there.
You have to blow into it to get it going.
No.
That's a breathalyzer.
Oh, okay.
No, I have the app.
So I decided not to do it because the discount sounded awesome, but, I mean, dude... I mean, I tried it for about a week just to see if I can stay under the speed limit. And every time I remembered, I was already 10 miles over the speed limit. So I'm like, dude, I'm going to fail this and it could backfire and make my insurance even go more higher.
So you just stop.
So I'm like, I'm not going to do this.
Okay. All right, Ray, hit me.
From Mount Pine, Arkansas, he invented the Nashville Podcast Network and maybe he'll start a pod with Lil Durk. Bobby Bones.
Okay.
What on earth? Yeah.
So we built this barn and it was an old crappy barn and then we turned it into like a barn that was like an apartment and it took us like 8 months. We hired somebody to do it. And there are rules about building a barn on your property, like HOA type rules. We thought we did everything right. And they said you can't have a place where people can live. If you're building it on your property, it could be like something like a party barn or a storage barn or a man, but it can't be bedroom, fridge, oven. So we had a small fridge there that met the rules. But we would notice the fridge wasn't big enough. So we went and got a big fridge and just stuck it in there. Somehow, some inspector got inside of our barn. I got to go to court next month.
You're getting what?
I have to go to court.
For a permit?
I got a summons. They're not giving me a permanent court. It's like we're awarding you with a permit.
No, I mean, but should you have?
We just got a bigger refrigerator to put more waters in.
Are you going to jail?
I think so. I think I'm going to the big house.
What?
And I didn't know what it was. And I went back and looked on the door and there's a summons and it said you're due in court on this date. Mm.
And that's crazy.
Do I represent myself?
Yes. Lunchbox.
No, no, no. Lunchbox is your lawyer.
Yeah.
No, no. They'll own my whole house if he goes in. They'll go in and quickly negotiate that for... But I've never heard of such a thing. I can't even do anything except I have to go to court. And all I did was like change refrigerators.
How do you have a
house? How'd they get in my barn?
How do you have a property and you can't build whatever you want on it? I don't understand that.
I mean, whenever I decided to build a garage with a little apartment above it, we had to go get a very specific permit, even though it was my backyard. You had to get everything approved.
There are rules about how tall things can be. Yep. What if you build in your backyard something super tall and it blocks other people?
Ooh, like a skyscraper? What is that?
You can build a skyscraper in your backyard?
Or if you live in a historical district.
About the Eddie and I are building a pickleball court. Yeah. And there are rules about that. It can't be so close to somebody's house. So at night, we had to hit pickleballs to see how loud it would be, see if people heard the pickleballs.
Really? Like,
you better clear all that before I have to go to court with you when we're done with this pickleball court.
I don't know if it's clear or not. I felt like...
You better clear it.
But anyway, I have to go to court next month. I don't even know. Maybe even during the show.
Wow, that's crazy.
We just live broadcast my trial.
You ever been to court?
I want to call witnesses.
Have you ever been to court?
I did jury duty once.
No. Like,
I left first.
When you're involved in it.
No.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Have you?
No.
No.
That's crazy.
Anyway, I'm just a rebel.
Hey, you're a bad boy.
Without a cause. We literally upgrade refrigerators. But then how'd the person get in there is what I want to know. How'd the person get in the barn?
Mm.
All right, that's all.
Let's open up the mailbag.
You send an email and we read it on the air. It's something we call Bobby's Mailbag. Yeah.
Hello, Bobby Bones. I've worked with my coworker for almost 2 years. We get along great. He's never been anything but nice. But he sits at his desk next to me, so I do hear what he says on the phone. He's never lost his temper with me, but I'm constantly shocked at how he speaks to his wife and his teenage kids. It's so radically different from the tone I'm used to hearing him speak that it's like a different person altogether. I want so badly to have a talk with him because I don't know if he even realizes how coarse he must be viewed by his family. Should I just mind my own business? Or is there some way I can delicately talk to him about his anger issues? Signed, co-worker of the Incredible Hulk. Oh, you're going to meet Hulk if you talk to him about that.
Yeah.
Without asking. Without him bringing it up. Yeah, don't... I did.
Yeah, not your problem.
That's
really
weird.
Right?
Yeah. You don't do anything unless he says... I don't even know what he would say, but...
Maybe he says, hey, I feel like I'm two different people. Do you ever...
If his clothes
that?
Start ripping off, like, if it's like... Do you know what's happening? My clothes are ripping. You'd be like, well, you're Incredible Hulk. It's just not your deal. If it was like a great friend, maybe you could step in.
Maybe.
Sure.
Yeah, but...
But you don't... No way. You may get the wrath yourself. And also, maybe his kids are idiots.
Yeah, and maybe it's not your business. Maybe the way he talks to his wife and children is different at work. He has a work personality and an at-home personality.
That would seem awfully weird.
No.
He does.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
He has a work personality where he talks to his kids and his work personality, but then he gets home, he's nicer to them. Like, he has two personalities towards the kids. Now, I think he's probably like that with them, but that ain't your business.
That's not your...
You stay out of it.
Unless he says something like...
Not your chili.
Has you worried about...
He's like also,
I'll kill you.
Also, I'll kill you, and I'll kill the woman across from me.
Right.
Then you say something.
Then maybe you raise something, yeah.
Yeah.
I would just chill out. Don't worry about it. Not your situation.
Yeah. It's sweet of you to care.
I
mean, obviously, you don't want someone to be spoken to that way, especially kids, but, you know, that's just sometimes we don't have to worry about that stuff because not our problem.
Yeah, don't, because it will be your problem if you do. That relationship won't be good anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Hulk will get you.
Yeah. All right, close it up.
We got your email and we read it on the air. Now it's time to close Bobby's mailbag. Yeah.
You need to see a doctor if... ... Eddie, I want you to listen. I know you...
Uh-oh.
You've missed your doctor's appointment twice now.
Yeah, I think
you're a little out of control, but hold on. You need to see a doctor if... When you stand up... You feel lightheaded a couple or a few times in a row.
Okay.
One time it could be many things.
What if we're like working out?
Well, that's one of the things.
That's one of the things.
Okay.
If you have upper neck pain consistently, upper neck pain, which is different than lower neck pain, which is connected to the back.
Oh, yeah.
But consistent upper neck pain could mean there are some other issues happening. If you're sweating more than usual, even in an air-conditioned room, and all of these separately, or if they're all together, you're lightheaded, you have upper neck pain, and if you're sweating more, your body, there's something fundamentally wrong in your body that you need to get taken care of.
Didn't Lunchbox have
the sweats all night long for no reason?
And it was tuberculosis.
What was it?
Tuberculosis.
You had herpes?
Thought it was herpes. It's tuberculosis.
Nope.
It's a little different.
I get them confused. They're both like funny words to say.
Yeah, they both end in S.
Herpes. Tuberculosis.
Yeah, that was a rough one, man. I didn't know what was wrong with me, but every night I'd, not every night, but probably four out of five nights, I'd wake up like I'd run 10 miles and I'd be dripping sweat.
Ugh. And I'd have to get run 10 miles. It was like sleeping.
And I was just sleeping, and I'd have to get a towel and dry off, and then I'd move to the other side of the bed. But if a girl was in the bed, I'd have to lay a towel down and sleep on the towel.
He just wants to bring up that
every time
if this a girl was in the bed.
Oh, no.
He was single, and he was drinking a lot, too. And he would drink. He would go out and drink all the time. It wouldn't affect the show. Not in the way of, like, he would come in drunk. But he would party hardy. Every Friday night, Saturday night, even Sunday day, he would go hard. And the worst part of the diagnosis was... no drinking.
No drinking for 9 months.
9 months?
Well, because while you're on the meds.
Like they said, you can't wear shoes for 9 months. It was that much of that big of a change for
you. You have to take this pill every day for 9 months. And so I had to take a pill every day for 9 months. But I'm going to tell you what.
Tell me what.
I started taking that pill, and it worked. I stopped sweating. Like, maybe a week after I started taking the pill, no more sweats.
Yeah, medicine's
crazy.
I mean,
I bought new blankets. I tried a box fan. I tried
It was tuberculosis, though. Now it's like you're reversing it. We already know how it ends.
But I'm saying, like, I tried everything.
Like, if you do that before you say tuberculosis, we're like, oh, yeah? Oh, yeah?
That's what I meant. Like, before the tuberculosis.
We already know you were sick.
Yeah, we know you're sick.
And then Bobby starts freaking out and makes me bring a doctor's note saying I can come back to work.
Oh, it was contagious. And he was like, you made me bring a doctor's note? Oh, don't worry. Listen to this crap. Yeah, I'm like, yes, you have to bring a doctor's note because you have tuberculosis. He comes in, gets a doctor's note, boom. I don't know. Smash cut some days. Amy's like, I think, yep, I have tuberculosis. Amy got tuberculosis.
From Lunchbox?
Where do you think it came from?
Oh, my goodness.
No,
Amy, true or false?
True.
You never even took the pills.
Dude, that's like when you
I started taking the pills.
Yeah. And then what?
And then I was like.
So you don't have tuberculosis.
Then she didn't sweat anymore, so she quit.
That's not true. I never even had the night sweats.
It's different for everybody.
My TB was asymptomatic. It was lying dormant.
Mine was non-active.
I never had COVID. Guess what? Played golf with Lunchbox. Guess who got COVID?
You did.
Yeah. After he was like, I got COVID. And I'm like, oh, no.
Man, I could have got it from you.
No.
No, you had it way before.
It's not how it works. You had tuberculosis first. Then Amy had it.
You had COVID first, then I got it.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
That's true.
Remember when I got COVID, though? Like, I was out for 2 months.
Those were the early days.
I was like,
God, those were the best 2 months of the show.
Eddie was, like, checking in from his bedroom.
You're like, you need to get a negative test.
And a doctor's note.
And I kept going back. I was like, positive. I'm like, dude, it's been months. And I'm like, just stick it up my butt or something, man.
That was in the beginning when we ate. Couldn't be too safe.
It's Wild West.
It was.
Then. But Eddie missed 2 months of the show. Because at that time, it was like, they have to turn negative. And every time Eddie took the pregnancy test.
Positive.
It's positive.
Still got it. Baby's coming.
And what's weird is, remember like at events like iHeart in Vegas or something, like we could be back there. And anytime you were walking around or anywhere without a microphone, you had to have your face covered. But if you were holding a microphone, you did not have to have your face covered.
It was like the restaurant.
It was like an airplane.
Just like grab a microphone and it's like, I'm good. Know.
If you had a bag of peanuts in your hand on an airplane, Happy New Year, no mask.
With the kids, we couldn't keep the mask on, so we just give them lollipops. Like, you know, just keep eating the lollipops.
Just keep feeding them lollipops.
Yep, over and over.
The mask on. Yeah, Lunchbox, looking back, Lunchbox gave Amy tuberculosis and me COVID. And we're here.
I mean, I'm 80%. I could say I gave you COVID.
No, we
80.
We played 80. Golf together.
0% chance I gave Amy tuberculosis.
How would
interesting
she get,
timing?
How would she get tuberculosis right after you
Dude,
had
you're
it?
You're crazy.
You can get it anywhere. Wait. Where did I get it? I had it for how long? Who knows when I got it?
You probably got it from the girl that was
but why,
on the towel.
But why wouldn't it be you? Eddie, it's not an STD.
Oh, it's not?
Yeah.
But it's still contagious.
It's an airborne disease.
Hey, if it was an STD, though, Amy, how did you get this?
Even better, it turns on her.
No.
This has been the Medical Minute here on the Bobby Bones Show.
It's time for the good news.
With producer Eddie.
Tell me something good.
5-year-old Grayson was born with a rare genetic disorder that put him at high risk for kidney cancer. So immediately doctors were like, we're going to help save your life. We're going to have to remove both your kidneys, which means
he needs a donor.
They need a donor.
Dang.
And just 2 weeks after he was put on the registry, two different people donated their kidneys. And now Grayson is in recovery and he's going to live, man.
Amy, do you know if when you donate a kidney, you know, you have to get tested. Is it list unless you know the person?
Oh, I don't like. Yeah, I think if you go specifically for that person,
they can get it
matched. Like you can say, "I want to do this," because you know, like Selena Gomez's friend did it for her. Mm-hmm. And
but so Eddie, do you know if it was people that he knew?
It's not. There were two strangers. Two strangers.
Did they hear about that specific story?
I guess they donate. They wanted to donate their kidneys. They were like put on a list to donate their kidneys.
Yeah,
which is something I've thought about doing myself.
I know you thought about it. Yes.
And once that's done, they check the match. It works, and they do it. But here's the crazy part. If I'm reading this correctly, since Grayson is 5, his kidney, he needs a smaller kidney, and these were adults, they could use it for multiple people. So I think they could use part of the kidney for Grayson. And
they can do part, huh?
Yeah, because they're saying not only did it help Grayson, but now there are some other recipients that it could save.
So I knew like the liver
regenerates.
Yeah. If that's true, which who knows?
Which if I'm reading this correctly,
hey, who knows?
It could be true.
That's a great story. Somebody that donates an organ, that is amazing.
I've thought about doing it.
I know.
I wonder if Harold, a lot of our listeners have tried to help Harold, but maybe they haven't been a match.
That is absolutely accurate.
Yeah.
Some listeners have and they haven't been a match.
So see, like I think if they were, they could say, I want this kidney to go to Harold.
That's a great story. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s,
she looked like a million bucks,
with zero qualifications,
she had a Harvard plaque,
tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the Michael Thura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody got their listening ears on?
Yep.
Okay.
Listening.
I'm going to play you a company sound. You tell me the company. For example, here you go. That be?
Netflix.
What'd you say, Lunchbox? Dell?
What on earth?
Okay. Yep.
Do you have Netflix?
Yeah, I do. My sister-in-law pays for it.
Oh, he steals Netflix.
So if you don't pay for it, you don't get that show.
Okay. Right. All right. So again, here's Netflix. Here it is. It's going to be that. I have 7 of these.
Well, that was tough.
I thought it was the easiest. That's why it was the example.
Pretty easy.
Write your answer down. Here we go. Number 1.
Huh?
What?
Here it is again.
That's it? Or is there more to it and we're just getting a sample?
When do I ever answer questions for him?
That's a great question, Amy. I appreciate the question.
It is
a
good question. Something else.
But he won't answer it.
Thank you. Here's a question for you. When do I ever answer questions as hints? One more time, please. Are you in? Are you looking angry?
I'm in.
I don't ever blow the whistle on anger looks, but I'm close. She's staring me down right now.
I'm not even looking at you.
Hey, she's a dirty dog eyeball on me.
What?
Amy.
I don't... Mario Brothers or
Eddie?
Something.
Amy, I think you're right. It's McDonald's and we're missing the last part.
Yeah,
she said Mario Brothers.
No, I'm right about there's missing sound.
Oh, okay. Lunchbox?
Yeah, there's missing sound at the end. It's like Nationwide.
No.
It's,
play it again. Play it again.
I'm loving it.
Well, yeah, it is, but where's the rest?
He cut it off.
No, there's a difference in the music of da-da-da-da-da, and then this person sings, I'm loving it.
Oh.
You're right.
Well,
so it's not cut off.
That's the sound. You guys?
Sorry, okay.
What is it?
Everybody except Lunchbox is getting the whistle.
What?
Here we go.
I got a point?
No.
But you, Eddie,
what is the answer?
Both of you got... Eddie got a point and a whistle. Amy got just a whistle. Lunchbox, we're good, bro. You just didn't get a point.
But no point.
Oh, that was McDonald's?
One more whistle, you're out of the game. No. McDonald's. Da 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 da. All right, number 2.
Taste the rainbow.
I'm in.
One more time?
I'm in for the win.
Taste the rainbow.
That guy sounds angry. Okay. Amy?
Skittles.
Eddie?
Skittles.
Lunchbox?
Skittles, but I feel like the end was cut off.
Oh. Should he?
That
was a joke.
Eddie.
That's
a whistle for me to smart aleck. Making fun of thing, he got the whistle.
Now we're all even.
No, I was
even.
Making fun of Eddie.
Oh,
and
we got the second whistle.
Oh no, you get kicked out for a second whistle.
Second whistle, you're out of here.
What? No.
Okay, here we go. Next up.
Give me a break. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that.
Break me off a piece of that.
Break me off a piece of that.
I'm in for the win.
I'm in.
Zipping.
Amy?
Kit Kat.
Yeah, I'm not going to comment.
Lunchbox?
Kit Kat.
Eddie?
It's Kit Kat.
You know what? I removed Lunchbox's whistle.
What?
I appealed it within myself, I remove his whistle.
So he's whistleless.
He's whistleless, but you're about to get a second one.
Okay. No, I'm just clear. I'm asking for clarification.
He's whistle. Next one.
Bet you can't eat just one.
Company sound. What is it? Hit me again.
Bet you can't eat just one.
Huh.
Eddie, I'm in. Yeah.
If you're yelling your name and you're that late.
I'm shook.
You're not.
I'm in.
I'm in for the win.
Bet you can't eat just one.
Amy?
Pringles?
Eddie?
Lay's.
Dang it.
Lunchbox?
Twix.
You can't because there are two in there.
Oh!
That's right. It's Lay's.
Yeah!
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I went with that because there was two.
Dang it.
Next up.
It's finger licking good.
I'm in for the win.
I'm in.
Amy?
KFC?
Eddie?
KFC.
Lunchbox?
KFC.
Correct. Two left. Who's winning, Mike?
Eddie with 5, Amy and LB with 3.
All right, go ahead.
Once you pump, you can stop. Once you pump, hey, yeah, you can stop.
I'm in.
I'm in for the win.
Amy?
Pringles.
Lunch?
Pringles.
Eddie?
Pringles.
Last one.
So I got a question.
No, wait, hold on. Last one. Here we go. Right. Now what's your question?
No, my question is, like, everyone we left the speaking part in, but we cut it off in McDonald's really threw me off for the whole game.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
He's asking.
That wasn't a question, though. That was just, like, a statement.
I know. I said,
okay.
Why?
Go ahead. Last one. Hit it again. Eddie, if you get it, you win.
Yeah, I got it. 100%.
You got it. Go.
NBC.
Eddie, winner.
Yeah.
We're going to go around the room. It's a fun bit, right? We're playful, everybody. Hey, playful, right?
Yeah, fun.
Don't get me fired. What are we boycotting? That's the question. Now, I asked this because Mike D, Movie Mike, is now boycotting a movie. I've never heard of such thing. What movie is it? Why are you boycotting it?
I'm boycotting The Crow because they're remaking it, and it's the movie that Brandon Lee died while shooting the movie.
But why boycott it, though?
Because that movie should be his legacy. He died while making that. They finished it after him. That has been like a historic thing in movie history. It should not be remade.
I felt the way that way about Simba's dad. He was killed during the making of Lion King. Yeah. They made a second one.
Yeah.
So I boycotted. I've never seen it.
Good, man. Good for you.
Good for you.
A little bit, though, you're being a little dramatic, right?
No, I don't think they should remake it. That is what everybody knows them for. That is why that movie has lived on, and they're doing it as a cash grab. Like, hey, you remember this dark thing that happened with this movie? We're going to remake it, and it's not going to be any good.
Well, no, I don't think they're saying it's not going to be any good. You're inserting that.
No, they said it's not going to be any good.
Oh,
no.
Well, if they say that.
What if it's the best movie? It comes out
in
and
his
it is
honor.
It's the best movie ever.
I was willing to give it a chance, but the trailer came out recently, and it looks horrible. It looks like a generic action movie, and the first one had just so much charm to it, and now they're just going to ruin it.
So basically, he got high on his moral ground once he saw the trailer and knew it was going to be bad. Then he could step up and say, I'm boycotting.
Yeah. Or
then I knew for sure what it was looking like.
Yeah. Or he was like, maybe I should boycott this. And he saw that it was just kind of cartoony. And he's like, I'm not going to support it. Although, I get it. Everybody's making cash grabs. You have to. But it doesn't take away from his legacy in that movie. That's all
I think it does. Of all the movies to remake, I know they remake everything at this point. But where somebody died.
There are people who died on movie sets. Didn't some of the people die in Wizard of Oz? Or was that in the
movie? That was later in life.
Oh. Yeah,
the Tin Man later.
Oh, okay, leg poisoning from the makeup.
Right. Okay, oh, God.
Really?
Yeah.
What? I did not know that.
Movie Mike, tell us more.
Yeah, the Tin Man, the first guy who played him, the whatever they used in that paint, he ended up suffering from some kind of lead poisoning.
It's tough.
Well, that's tragic.
Oh, man, I am never watching that movie again.
Boycotting.
Boycotting.
Yeah, boycotting. Yeah. Okay, what are you boycotting? This is scary for me to let you guys say this. Amy?
Well, mine's personal.
Go ahead.
So I'm boycotting my meds. So I quit taking them.
I've been thinking about that. Maybe you should like...
But I feel like when I was thinking, okay, what's something... I'm not boycotting anything like crazy or public out there that I'm like, don't want to be around. But I do open up my drawer every day and I'm like, okay, not going to take my Adderall. That's my own personal choice, and I'm doing it.
I hear you, and good for her. She's making a decision. I like it.
Well, I'm having to power through.
It makes it a little more difficult for me.
Sure.
Right.
So sometimes I like it when she doesn't boycott.
I'll get to the other side. I'm just still in that. I'm in a sort of a fidgety phase, and maybe that will stick around. I'm not sure, but I would just encourage anybody else, if you're looking to do anything like that, consult a doctor. I'm not here to say that you should boycott all meds.
Say somebody drops a matter on your water and you didn't know it. Would you matter?
I'd probably notice right away and it would be amazing.
We'd appreciate that.
But I'm just trying some alternative methods and we'll see how they work.
Lunchbox, what are you boycotting?
I am boycotting Disney Plus. I read an article that they are going to stop the freeloading and they are going to start charging people for password sharing. So I, right now, am making a statement. I won't be watching Disney Plus.
So you're actually doing the, you can't fire me, I quit.
Yep.
Because they're going to kick you out anyway because you're not paying for it.
Wow. That's right.
So you're just getting
ahead of it. My cousin Andrew and his wife Ellen have been letting me use their Disney account. And now it is not going to allow that. So I have decided I am boycotting Disney.
Well, I mean, they've decided they're eventually going to boycott you. So
yeah.
I like that you're getting ahead of it.
Yeah, I got ahead of them. I'll show them.
Eddie?
Okay, so I mentioned this a little bit last week. Like, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, you know, there's too much paparazzi going on. You're going to ruin their relationship. So I am boycotting clicking on any article that says Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. There's one that came out a couple days ago about a secret trip they took to Nashville, and I'm like, oh, I want to read. I'm not going to do it.
Oh, good for you.
I'm not clicking on that.
You want to know where they went?
If you need any medication to help you, you can have Amy's.
Yeah. Well,
No.
Of course
not. No. I'm boycotting the Tampa Bay Buccaneer football team.
Oh, boy. The whole team now?
Yeah. It's just, I mean, part of it, right?
Oh, no.
I used to be a big Baker Mayfield guy, and he's gotten too big to answer my messages now, and so... I supported them wholeheartedly last year. I was a big Baker guy, big Baker show. I'm boycotting the Bucks and that showbiz, baby. They don't even exist to me until, I don't know what he can do.
Baker hasn't replied at all to anything.
Now all of a sudden, making $100 million.
Yeah, man, money.
Maybe he's busy.
People.
Maybe he's on vacay.
A guy I know was playing golf with him at a driving range with him. I said, I see Baker up there. Let me go say something. I was like, I don't know who that is.
Oh, wow.
He's dead to you.
Baker Mayfield? Not even dead to me. Never existed.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm boycotting him. Until, I don't even know. I don't even know what it is. But all of a sudden, he ain't trying to answer his friend anymore.
Dang.
So, Mike, good luck on your boycott.
Thanks. I join you in your boycott.
Yeah. Mike joins me. I join Mike.
Yeah. Good luck
I'm
to everyone.
I'm not watching The Crow. I've never seen the first one, but I ain't watching the second one now. See, this is
the first one worth watching?
I like it.
Okay. I don't know that I've ever seen it.
When someone says that, the answer is usually no, though.
I like it.
I don't know.
Like, do you like that restaurant? Well, I mean,
I like it.
That's, he's very protective of it, so. The Bob
Bone Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
All right, I have some money basics that all couples should discuss. And this is coming from Jason Tardik, who was engaged to Caitlin Bristowe for a long time. They're the,
from the
bachelorette people.
Does he have any background in money?
Yeah, it says he's a banking professional. Okay. He works in finance. I know he has a podcast talking about that sort of stuff too. And anyway, he was on Good Morning America helping couples talk about finances. And he says that you should absolutely be sharing your credit score with your significant other right when you start dating. Annual expenses, income, and then all accounts that you have.
I don't know right when you start dating.
Well, it says new couples. So maybe you've established like, hey, we're going to be together. It's not like date two.
Like boyfriend, girlfriend type stuff.
Does everyone know their credit score?
I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I don't.
I know. I got a Discover card when I was like 18.
Did you pay it?
Well, I never used it.
Was that for a free t-shirt?
Yeah, free t-shirt.
Well, do you know if you get a credit card and you don't use it, therefore you don't miss payments, it helps your credit.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. I used to fill out those things every time I could.
Those for those extra, extra large t-shirts that didn't quite fit right?
Yeah.
They were a little sandpapery?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. It seemed a little bit early to start sharing all those details.
Yeah, well, he says that this will keep you from wrecking your relationships when it comes to money. And it's one of the things in there, too, was don't hide any accounts.
Okay, I could see that.
But I could see, obvious. You may need your own little for a rainy day. Okay, so like.
Hey, look who's saying this.
No.
Yeah.
So you say, hey, I'm keeping this own account, like, but it's mine. Like, if we get together, I'm going to go ahead and keep it separate.
Lunchbox, does your wife, I know you guys don't share accounts, but does she know how much is in your checking?
No.
She has no idea how much is even in it?
Nope.
And if she asked you, would you tell her?
I'd tell her it's enough.
And she doesn't know your salary or your income, right? Nothing?
And then if she asked you,
I get paid.
It's enough.
Gosh, that's rule number one of Jason's list. You need to share all of it.
But look at Lunchbox and his wife. They're perfect.
They're perfect. Okay. What if she has way more money than him?
She might.
He doesn't even
know. She might.
Yeah. Okay, what else?
All right, I have the top five things you should never do if you're getting pulled over by a police officer.
Run.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Number one.
Throw things out the window.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this one, the first one is don't wait to pull over. However, I will say, if it's dark and you want to go to a lit area, I think that you can go ahead and drive yourself to a gas station or a lit area to get pulled over.
I can agree with that, as long as the gas station's not in another town.
Yeah, but they don't like when you keep going.
Or when you speed up to keep going.
Right.
Yeah.
Do not get out of your car. Stay in there, buckled up, do all the things. Like, do not get out.
Yep.
Don't hide your hands. And Bobby's always said, right when you get pulled over, first thing you do is put both your hands on the steering wheel.
I put them on the steering wheel. Mm-hmm. And then I put them both out the window. Huh. And then I wave them like I just don't care.
Okay.
Just so they know.
All right.
Don't reach for anything until they ask.
Yeah.
And then don't panic.
Well,
that's
can't
hard.
Help that one.
That's a tough one.
I panic as soon as a cop gets behind me for any reason whatsoever. But you have to remember, every time a police officer pulls someone over, they're risking their own lives. And that is a big deal to their family back home. It's a big deal to them. So, yeah, just show as much respect as you can, because every single time they have to approach a car, they do not know what's about to happen. And if you show them respect, they'll show you respect. It's much like animals. You see a snake, they don't want to mess with you. You think a cop wants to, like, have any trouble? No. You think a snake wants to bite you? No.
We don't know, though.
Oh,
you can't talk
does.
To snakes,
yeah.
Man.
I don't know. I've seen some of those shows where it's like there's those churches where they're like, oh.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, you do a yell a certain thing, those snakes stay just at bay and don't bite you. You ever see those?
Yeah, those are weird, dude.
Yeah, you know how those people end up dying usually?
Yeah, they get bit by a snake.
Yeah.
All right, next.
Okay, you know in Chattahoochee, he says, you know, it gets hotter than a hoochie-coochie. Mm-hmm. Do you know what hoochie-coochie means?
Yes. I do, and we'll move on, but we did not get a fine.
You're going,
yes. You do?
That's why it's always weird when my kids sing it. I'm like, oh,
what do you think a hoochie-coochie is?
I never really thought about
what
it.
What does that say?
It says that it's a county fair strip show.
No.
A county fair strip show?
That's not what I thought it was.
Yeah.
Like a strip?
I think like that'd be hot to people.
I thought it was just like, you know, like.
Things. It doesn't matter. All
no,
right, that's
it's
it,
not.
Amy, close
it's
it up.
This. I'm
that's not any better, though.
I feel like it's a little better. Okay, I'm Amy. That's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
Mr. Beast is like a celebrity that actually changes the world.
Dude, McBeast is amazing.
He changes the world because he does so much. And yeah, he does it and he gets a lot of views. And But it's like you can build your platform and have success, but it's what you do with that success. But you have to keep the platform going so you can continue to help other folks. There are some famous people who would get really famous and get rich and then go, I'm quitting this to dedicate my life to service. And that's great because I'm sure that's what fulfilled them. But what would happen is they would get way less famous and have less of a platform in 5 years. So it's kind of that balance. But Mr. Beast rocks. That dude is constantly doing stuff. Mr. Beast, the YouTube star, he donated 600 e-bikes to people in need across the country. And you know how these stories were like, this person's walking to work, this person. And an e-bike is cool because you just pedal a little bit and then it just goes.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
And so people without a reliable means of transportation, him and electric e-bikes gave $600,000 worth of electric bikes.
That's awesome.
Dang.
That's crazy, which is going to help so many people.
I watched one the other day where he paid some guy $10,000. He bought a grocery store.
Yeah.
And he paid the guy $10,000 for every day he could survive in the grocery store. And it may be even more entertaining if I had the volume on. I just had it playing during the show while I was watching it while you guys were talking about it.
Wait, so hold on. You were watching that video while we were doing the show?
Yeah. It may have been something I wasn't interested in.
Like a topic?
Okay.
And so, I mean, I was just like, they were having him do, and they brought his kids in at some point. They were driving go-karts around the grocery store. I was like, this dude comes up with the greatest ideas ever.
How much did that dude end up
making? I didn't finish the video. Mm. It was 25 minutes and ran out of time.
You didn't even like Google it to see?
No, I paused it and I plan to go back eventually.
Is he leaving YouTube, Mike?
No.
I saw him tweet he's going to leave YouTube. It was an April Fool's joke.
See, because I'm so interested on how much Elon Musk is paying him to go on Twitter now. Because there was
he paying him? Or I know they've been going back and forth a little bit.
Because now he's posting them on Twitter all of a sudden.
He wants him to post like his main videos on Twitter,
yeah,
which he has been doing sometimes because they get millions of views, yeah, but he hasn't done it yet.
And the fact he can pay somebody $10,000 a day, I mean, he's making way, way, way more than that a day. I mean, people watching it, so he's easily able to pay the $10,000 a day for that grocery store.
Wow.
But they gave all these people e-bikes, thought it was awesome. Mr. Beast constantly doing stuff that's helping folks. It's a great story. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Over to Amy with the Morning Corny.
The Morning Corny.
How did the digital clock show off to its mother?
Yeah.
Look, Ma, no hands.
Funny. I like that.
That was the Morning Corny.
Tomorrow is a big day on this show. Lunchbox has, decided to put someone on blast.
Oh, that.
No one has come clean yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you give it, this is the last chance?
Your last chance. I'm looking around the whole room in the glass room.
I mean, no one knows what to come clean with. Like, what?
He's giving little hints.
Yeah. If there's some on your mind that you think, oh, man, I should probably admit to this, now would be the time.
I will say I do not know what he's talking about. A lot of times I need to get the heads up so we don't get into legal trouble.
He's looking around.
He's looking at everybody in the eyes. He's like,
yeah, and Amy will not look at me. Back of her head.
I just turned to you. You were looking at scuba.
Oh, so you looked when I was looking the other way. You didn't want to make eye contact.
Tomorrow, Lunchbox puts someone on blast.
Can't wait.
I mean,
it just seems like if you want to admit something, that wouldn't be the good move because it's probably not you anyway. And you may actually admit something way worse than what he has. And there is a chance it's clickbait with what he has. But I believe in him, and I love this segment, and I can't wait for tomorrow, even though it could be me.
Could be.
It could be.
Anyone have anything they want to say?
Could it be himself? Is he? Are you?
No.
Okay.
No. No. That'd be stupid.
That's tomorrow.
I'm not going to put myself on blast.
Around this time, Lunchbox will put someone on blast. It just feels like it's probably Eddie or Ray because that's who it always is.
It's always me, but I mean, I don't have anything.
But why is he going like so extra with this time?
I feel like you've really like romanced the stone with him lately that he probably won't go after you.
Right, you guys have a thing going on.
Or maybe she did something, so she's been trying to butter me up, so I won't reveal it.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I feel like you'd go after Eddie first, Ray and Morgan in that second tier. I'm the wild card.
Hey, don't forget Abby. He likes to go after Abby.
Too easy.
Yeah.
I don't think all of this would be because of Abby.
I just know the phone lines are going to need to be open tomorrow because they're going to be flooded.
They're always open.
Is that a hint? The phone lines?
Flooded. Abby phone.
Tomorrow, Lunchbox puts someone on blast.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Princess Cruises wanted to hire someone to gamble at their new casino.
Stop it.
I'm in.
They want to hire someone.
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh.
Hold on.
Can I have time off?
Our own money?
I'll report. No, they're going to give you money.
Let's go. Report live from the ship.
They're offering one person an all-expenses-paid cruise to test their new casino.
Okay.
You get free food and drinks. You'll also get money to gamble with.
This is amazing.
Princess Cruise.
And you get paid?
And you can take a guest with you.
Oh, my God.
All expenses, you two would be friends for that.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. Dude, you and me, gambling.
To test the casino.
Let's go.
And report back about the experience.
We could do that.
Oh, my gosh. This is right up my alley.
They want you to rate the casino.
I'll do it.
On a scale of 0 to 10, but then they want you to go and do game variety, betting limits, atmosphere stat.
Love all that.
I mean, this would be the job. It's from casino.org. This would be the job you guys would love.
Oh, my gosh.
Where do we apply?
I don't know, dude. I just saw the story and thought it'd be funny if you guys like applied for it. Because I think if you two went together, I'd allow it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we report every single day from the ship.
I mean, I'd be up for that bit.
Dude, put us down.
I am.
Find it.
Oh my gosh, this is great.
He's like frantically looking for it.
Yeah. Sun Princess Cruise. Okay, that's it. That's a nice boat.
Dude, I mean,
nice
what a
boat.
Line. Is searching for a person interested in a free luxury cruise who also likes to gamble on someone else's dime.
That's us.
I mean, that's you
guys.
Us.
Nothing says you guys like that.
Oh, man.
Wow. Speaking of that, Amy now, I think she's moved on from golf and she wants to play poker.
Of course.
Well, no, I just realized it can be lucrative. And if my best friend from high school can do it.
But it isn't mostly.
Okay, my best friend from high school, Andrea, we don't know her. I basically only know you because of her. And she entered a poker tournament in South Austin. and the entry fee was $100. Oh. She got second place and won $650. So in an evening of just having fun, she walked away with $550.
Is that legal?
I think
if the house doesn't get a cut, it's a lot of that's yes.
Oh.
If the house gets a cut, it's illegal.
Well, I didn't say where. She
no.
She said South Austin.
I used to play in a lot of poker games. So what do you want?
Well, I don't know how to play. She said it's so much fun, and I'm like, well, okay, well, I want to start playing with her. Maybe I can enter tournaments with her. We can make
Amy
money.
Amy would have the worst poker face
oh my
ever.
God.
But I just
she'd be like this. She'd be like, oh. <oops." laughs>
So somebody teach me how to play. Let's start having poker
nights.
No.
I don't think that's for you.
No.
Well, why is it for her?
I don't know.
You're in friends
Amy, you can't even like squirrel. Oh,
it's major patience. Like
I have patience.
I used to play a lot. I used to play in like underground games and warehouses, and then they started getting robbed, and I was out. And then we'd go to Vegas lunch, and I'd go to Vegas. I won at one big tournament one time, and won. You know,
I think this is my decade.
But it took like 14 hours of me playing.
Yeah, I think
14 hours, Amy.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to the club, brought some chicks down to watch the final table.
Like it was like I went at dinner, started playing. Played for a few hours, and Lunchbox came to the table and was like, I'm going to the club with some chicks. Never saw the chicks, but he did come back with chicks. And then he's like, and 14 hours later, I was exhausted.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I don't know. I think just this time around, like when we go to Vegas for work.
You won't even gamble.
You can't get on a poker table.
Oh, please.
No, we
never
poker,
see her all weekend.
But maybe. But you know what's fun to me, and I don't ever just take time to sit down and do it with y'all, is blackjack. Like, I could do that in Vegas.
So, do you want to learn blackjack or poker?
Whatever.
No, not whatever. Oh, no.
I just think this is my time for that.
Time. Why? You have a lot of money or something?
No. You don't have to have a lot of money, right? You can play the cheaper tables.
Yeah. Okay. When we go to Vegas,
I'm not trying
we'll
to
definitely take, you'll set aside whatever money you want. You'll slubbing off a piece of that pie, and then you'll say, this is how much I have, and then we'll go out and we'll spend it and try to make some money. But do you want to learn poker, like your friend?
I'll leave that up to you. Blackjack or poker, those are the options.
But if you sit at the poker table, you can't ask Bobby next to you, hey, Bobby, what should I do?
So no talking. But blackjack you can.
Yeah.
And if you go do blackjack with Lunchbox, he will tell you exactly what to do.
And everybody on the table want to punch him in the face.
Yes.
I've played with him before, but I always just...
So you want to gamble now?
But you're going to have to go to a higher limit. Hey, now they're doing a lot of this.
What if you and I went and gambled at Princess Cruise and we left them behind?
Stop.
Whoa.
Stop.
Whoa.
Hey, I've already got the application up.
What if we did
that? Sorry, you already submitted.
Okay. Tomorrow's a big day where Lunchbox puts someone on blast, whatever that means. He says that somebody's done something illegal, and I don't even know what else to say because I don't think it's me, but I don't know it's not me. And no one's emailed him.
No one's emailed me except for Ray to say, screw you.
Yeah, we heard that one.
Why would Ray say that, though? Like, you're not going to get me? Like,
you think that's
like he's
it.
Angry.
Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow's the day. Is there a chance somebody gets fired from the show?
I haven't asked the bosses about that.
Is there a chance that it gets them in so much trouble that they get...
I think so. Okay. I do think so.
Okay, that's tomorrow.
I think the bosses are really going to, like, have to sit down and have a conversation if they want this person representing the show still.
The thing is, and I promise you, everybody listening, I have no idea what it is. I do not know. This is all in his hands. If it is a big dud, he'll never get to do a bit like this again. I'll never trust anything. However, if it's a home run, he can pick bits every day.
That's right.
So that's tomorrow.
I don't know.
We were talking about it before the show. We were just trying to figure out what it was, like before we even came in this morning. Hey, what's up, everybody? Let's get to the news.
Bobby's Big Stories.
I saw a story about divorce rings. I know maybe we've talked about divorce things that people wear, but divorce rings, not super common, but there are a couple different companies that are selling them. So they're out there. They say a divorce ring, it puts out an emotional statement saying that I care about me, I'm single. But the thing about divorce rings is I wouldn't know it was a divorce ring unless it said divorce on it. But I don't even look at the ring.
Yeah, how do you look that close to a ring?
And I think mostly it's just buying it for yourself. Like it's like, I'm just going to get myself something like to prove the love for myself.
I think part of it is using the engagement ring that was part of your wedding or your engagement
and you redesign it into another type of ring and wear it elsewhere, but it's still the
elsewhere,
same.
Elsewhere, like in your throat, like you like can your nose?
Okay, another finger.
Like so, I actually asked people about this the other day. What they did with theirs. A lot of people, you could tell how angry they are at any given situation when the people were like, sell it. Like they wanted to sell it or they redo it. Like they made like a pinky ring or like a ring for their other finger. But reset it.
I would sell it.
That's what it's called. Reset it.
Sell it and get a ring you really like instead of having to deal with all the drama. I hear you.
So those are the options I heard. Sell it, reset it in another ring or a necklace, or save it in your jewelry box for one of your children.
The divorce ring?
It's just the weird. Ring. Like after the marriage is over, it's just a diamond, right? Like so, you're just saving the diamond.
But
it's a symbol of something that didn't work, right?
But, or it was a symbol of something that did work for the time being.
The divorce
but decided it didn't work.
This is what you should do. The divorce ring should be. It can be the same ring, whatever. But that you should put a piece of metal on it that looks like a middle finger.
Oh.
What?
Ooh. That comes down?
Yeah.
Like it's and then it's flipping like, you off?
Yeah, and then it's like, you like tap it, pops out.
What do y'all suppose I do with mine?
Sell it.
Sell it. Get rid of it.
If you want to do something for your kids, sell it. Put in a college fund.
What?
That ring doesn't mean anything. You're divorced.
What? Why does my ring have to pay for the college fund?
Well, it's going to have to come from somewhere.
Yeah, I'm just saying you could sell that. You just said it could be passed on to the kids.
Yeah.
And I'm saying they'd probably want it sold anyway.
Yeah, but isn't it cool when it's like it could be passed down? It's like, oh, this ring you get from your grandma.
That's great, but not a divorce ring. Mm-hmm.
But my parents got divorced and I have my mom's rings.
But I don't think she pitched it as a divorce ring.
She didn't, but when she died, that's what I got. And I'm thankful for that she kept it.
But it wasn't a divorce ring. It was her wedding ring. We're talking about literal divorce rings with the attachment of, this is my divorce ring.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. I'm with you. I'm just saying the divorce ring is what some people are doing with their ring. So they're making it. Like, that's an option. Like, when you look at what you can do with your wedding ring, do you make a divorce ring?
Do you sell it?
Or do you make a divorce necklace?
You throw it in the lake and then you go, dang, I wish I wouldn't have done that.
It's complicated. It's hard because it's precious. I mean, think about it.
So's life,
it can still represent happy memories.
So's love.
You
all
know?
Precious, but...
But the divorce ring's going to go back in your finger, like the same finger?
No.
Okay.
You have to wear it on a different finger because then you look married.
Right.
And that's why you put a middle finger on it.
Yes. Oh, stay away from that one. That one's a middle finger on it.
Or she really likes to flip off the person that divorced her. Treasure hunting to make money. It's not exactly what it seems, but kind of is. This is from moneytalknews.com. It's like thrift store treasure hunting. This is the time of year, experts say, because... Here we are in April, and it's when a lot of people are decluttering their houses, and the stuff they're kind of, I don't know if I should or not, they usually do. Because it's when you got to make those decisions to make your house feel cleaner, more open. The Salvation Army and Goodwill see a big increase in clothes and even higher value items. So it's mostly underpriced stuff as well. If it's like a statue, like a head bust, or if it's like some old books that are cool, they say go now because it's stuff that just came from people's houses that they normally wouldn't have gotten rid of, except it's like, well, I got a spring clean.
Yeah.
So do a little treasure hunting. Those stories where like somebody finds an old painting, they buy it for $18 and it sells for $1.3 million at Sotheby's.
It's amazing.
That's wild. If you could eat your favorite food every day, first of all, what is your favorite food? Give me one favorite food that if you had to classify it as your favorite food, it would be that favorite food. Amy.
Queso.
Okay. Eddie.
Easy. Pizza. Every day.
Yeah, pizza strong.
I can do it every day.
Okay, lunchbox?
Fajitas.
Okay. I do chicken fried steak.
Every day.
White gravy. Like, if this is my favorite food, I'm not saying every day yet, but that's what the story's about. If you could eat that every single day, how long do you think you would go before you had to crave something different and like you were over your favorite food? Mm-hmm. Because I generally, it's not even my favorite food. I can eat the same thing every single day because to me, it's just part of the machine. Lunch, I have to get to a place, refuel my body. I don't have time to enjoy anything. Dinner's different. Dinner I love. I can do whatever. But lunch, I eat the same thing every day, or I would if it were available to me. But I think if I eat chicken fried steak every day for my whole life, I'd die a happy man. Never want to change.
I agree with you. Pizza every day.
Yeah, because I mean, pizza, you can switch it up. I feel the same way.
Oh,
with
make him define it.
No, but I would do pepperoni and mushroom. I don't need to add onions to it just to change it
you
up.
You can't change it up every day.
Nope.
Oh.
Okay, got it.
Well, I was thinking because some days I have ground beef in my queso, other days I have black beans and avocado.
No, you just have the plain queso.
No, I'm adding it all. I'm having Bob Armstrong dip to the max. That'll be my everyday then because I need more protein and something different.
How many days till you get bored?
Month.
A month? You? Every day eat it?
Never.
Yeah, same for me. Yeah.
Never.
Lunchbox, what about you?
Probably 10 days.
Researchers found that about 8 days.
Wow.
People started to get sick of it from Noodles & Company survey.
If like pizza didn't make me like die of a heart attack or like make my stomach explode, like I would do it, no problem.
There's a lot of stuff I feel like that about.
Like 100%.
Even like drugs. Never tried one, but they seem fun. I do them all the time. Throwing like bad stuff.
If it didn't ruin my life, I would
do
it every day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you don't wash new bed sheets, you should.
Oh, yeah. That's like washing new underwear.
You should always toss the new bedding in the wash before you sleep in it. Today had the whole story about, and it started with replacing your bedding every 18 to 24 months, like just in general. And then cleaning experts are like, okay, cool. But you should also, when you get the new sheets, put them in the wash because there's a lot of like chemicals go into the packaging of them.
Dang. I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm. Or they're being tossed around. So like, think about it. When you go to the store, maybe you're looking at some sheets and a packet of sheets, they fall on the floor and they're the kind that doesn't have plastic on the outside and then it touches the floor. And then it's loaded in a truck in people's hands.
That made me just think of like paper plates or paper cups. Like, we don't wash those. We just go straight to a party and, like,
put food on
there.
You can't wash them because the paper plates will disintegrate.
True.
But I would think, like, the middle ones, it's like bread. I don't eat the heels.
Now,
not because it's going to kill me. I just don't like it. But I treat my paper plates like my bread. I get rid of the heel in the front.
You only get to get rid of the top paper plate because the bottom one would be the, you know, you're good.
Well, I'm just saying, like, everything's packaged. I don't know where it was. Like,
well, we don't know where anything is.
Right.
We're all gonna
when your
die.
Food comes from a restaurant in the back, you don't know what happened. Boy. And they're probably going to steal your identity when they take your credit card back to the dark room. One of my favorite bits, we're talking about this bed here, is when Lunchbox went to the mattress store and wanted to test it out by sleeping. And he went to sleep in the bed during the show.
So funny.
So funny. He was like, I tested it. Literally fell asleep in the bed. Also, they say you should change it, again, 18 to 24 months. Because tons of like dust mites start to exist in the beds, which you really can't see. So,
18 to 24 months, new sheets?
Seems a bit much.
Just stay on top of the wash, I think, because that's crazy.
A man pleads guilty to a solid gold toilet theft. $6 million gold toilet.
Who has that?
Well, the word toilet kind of throws the story off, and it's like, that's crazy. That's funny. It's just $6 million in gold. It just happens to be where you poop.
That's got to be like a make you feel really like awesome thing, right? Like that's the only reason you poop in a golden toilet.
It's the only reason anything's gold, though.
No, but like if you wear a gold chain, like maybe
it's still to make you feel good.
But pooping in a gold toilet, though, makes you feel like, yeah, that's how rich I am. I poop in a gold toilet.
I hear you, but it's all the same. It's all the same depending on how much money you have. If you are super rich, you get the gold toilet for the same reason that you would get the gold necklace.
Okay.
So it's all relevant. But anything we have that's gold or anything that's precious metal or any brand that we buy because of it makes us feel look cool.
Okay.
It's all to make us feel better. But a gold toilet made me feel real good.
I just feel like if Lunchbox won the lottery, he would buy himself a gold toilet.
I mean, it's an investment.
Because it's gold.
Yeah.
Because it's gold. You know, I got sent a gold, I forget what it's called. It's called like a gold buck or something. Like some states have those, it's like a gold dollar and it's like 0.17 pound gold.
Is it a coin?
No, it's like a.
You got sent it randomly?
It's like a dollar bill. Yeah, as a gift for my birthday. It's like a friend of mine was like, you should have some of these gold.
Plates?
No, they're not. No, it's like paper. But it's made of gold, but it's very thin.
Oh.
Really?
Mike, do you see what that is? Like Colorado has them. Wyoming has them.
It's like the Willy Wonka golden ticket?
Yeah, it looks exactly like the Willy Wonka golden ticket.
Really?
I had never seen them before. What do you got?
I've never seen these.
What's it called?
It just says gold-plated bills. Is that it?
I don't know if that's it. I should have.
Are they from Amazon?
Yeah, everything I looked at.
No, the state has gold. And then they issue them the same way you would buy a dollar, but hopefully you're buying them to hold the value.
Is it goldbacks?
That's it, goldbacks.
And how much is this bill worth?
The gold back. I did give back. That's different.
Oh, like, yeah. There's Utah, Wyoming, South Dakota.
And what state do you have, Bones?
I think mine's maybe Colorado or Wyoming.
Nice.
I'm not sure. But gold back currency, it's literally gold, but it's a square shape like a dollar, shaved very thin, and you can actually put writing on it. And that's what it says, a gold back.
Hold up. What? How many were you gifted? These are expensive.
Three.
Wow.
But I don't think it was that expensive because it's like 0.07 gold bar or something. Why? How much is it worth?
Well, there's like...
This is my...
Well, this one, there's one here
oh my
that's
gosh.
$470.
Oh my gosh, this one's worth $234.
Yeah.
I need to go get mine.
$240.
I thought they were like worth a dollar.
Yeah, can you get them?
I thought it was like a dollar in gold.
No, Bobby, these are worth far more. This one, it depends on the year too, because this 2019 Utah one is $550.
And I wonder if Don Mattingly signed it. I'd like it even more.
What is this stuff?
I'll go get it. I'll bring it to you guys. All right, let's see. A news anchor is to be disciplined after an alleged drunken broadcast.
Uh-oh.
Disciplinary proceedings have begun against a news anchor during the broadcast. He was pretty drunk. He struggled pronouncing words, displayed unnatural behavior. There was also a 7-second pause for no reason.
Oh, no.
While he's up there. He's just trying to figure it out, you know, taking a breath.
He's trying to look at the teleprompter. Huh?
That stinks. I'm going to go get this gold thing. All right, that is your news.
Those were Bobby's Big Stories.
I was talking about the gold backs. It's like gold money, gold paper money. That's one. I don't know how much that's worth.
Oh, look, you're just touching it?
Yeah. I thought it was worth $1. But it says it's like, it's South Dakota, I think.
Yeah, if I had a guess, this is worth around $250.
How do you know that?
Because
I was researching.
I thought it was worth $1.
No. But this one's 24 karat gold.
No, it's not that. That's the value, though. It tells you how much gold. Like, look at the bottom. It's like
one thousandth.
Of?
Troy ounce.
Right.
Of 24 karat gold.
Wow.
See if one thousandth of a troy ounce of 24 karat gold of a South Dakota gold buck.
Back.
Yeah. Mikey, what do you have up there?
Did you say the year? It's 2023. Does that matter?
I didn't even know there were real things.
I've never heard of that. I'm concerned about how you guys are holding it, though. Like, can you fold it? Like, you're folding it. Don't do that.
You can't fold it. You can't fold it.
You literally just did. You're doing it right now.
No. I can bend it, but you can't fold it.
Okay, so it's not like paper. It's still like metal.
It's like gold paper. Yeah, but if you fold it, I think it breaks.
Oh, dude, that's crazy.
Mikey.
I'm seeing one that sold for $6.
Yeah, I see $6.56.
Amy just told me it's worth $200.
I think if it has more gold.
Yeah, 1/1000th. I'm sorry I didn't see that in the tiny print.
It's real big right here.
And Bones, like everything else, you hang on to it for a few years, and the next thing you know, it's boom.
No, I'm not even worried about it. I didn't even know what it was. My point was I had one of these.
Yeah, the ones that are really expensive are 0.9999. gold.
What about 1/1000th of a troy ounce?
Sounds small.
Boy, Amy got me all fired up that I was rich, and now all of a sudden I got no money.
Here's the deal. If you had 1/20th of a troy ounce, it'd be
$250. Here's the deal. You built me way up. Now what do I do? You owe me $250.
Okay. You know what you need to do with that?
What?
Put it in your wallet. And
hold it up.
Go somewhere and start trying to pay with it.
Worth about $6.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to play the sound game again with the businesses. We got a second version of this. Hit that sound, Raymundo. That would be
Netflix.
Correct.
Yes.
Name the business. Hit a second one, Raymundo.
I'm loving it. McDonald's.
Correct. Boom. We'll give you a round. We'll play that game.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout. And woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, name the company sound. Let's go with this one first. Example. That's
Netflix.
Netflix.
Now, this one right here.
Yeah. Nextel.
Mm-mm. We work.
Mm-mm. Have you ever used We Work?
No.
Have you ever heard the sound?
No.
I bet you have.
I've never heard that sound.
So I don't think We Work has a sound, but...
Play it again, Ray. Just an example.
It's a call. It's
Skype.
That's it.
I've used Skype.
Skype. Yeah, I knew you have.
Oh, man.
All right. We got five of these. You guys ready for number one? Write your answers down. Here ready. We go. Go.
Pizza.
I'm in.
In.
I'm in for the win.
Amy?
Little Caesars.
Lunchbox?
Little Caesars.
Eddie?
Little Caesars.
Correct. Number two.
I'm in.
In for the win.
Don't go back to it, Eddie.
Oh, he got that pin.
There was a bug flying around.
Amy, do you have an answer?
Yeah.
What do you have?
HBO.
Lunchbox?
HBO.
Eddie?
Woo, HBO. Good. Thank goodness.
Correct.
Eddie, you can go back to it and change it.
I was going
to
change to Max, but yeah.
Good thing. Number three, go ahead.
I'm in.
Once more.
Oh, stop. Gosh, what is this?
I just heard that the other day.
Stupid.
3 seconds.
I'm in for the win.
I'm in.
If anybody gets this, congratulations.
Thank you.
Amy?
AMC Movie Theater.
Lunchbox?
This is when you go to the movie theater and I put THX.
Oh,
Eddie?
That's it.
THX.
It's THX.
Dang it.
Nice job.
That's really it?
Yeah.
Yes, man.
I would have never got that.
Really? You don't remember that?
No, wow. I can see it, but I know the brand name.
Yeah, the little lamp comes out.
No, that's Pixar.
Oh, well, dang. I got them all confused then.
Good. Well, hey, good job. That's awesome.
Wow.
Next one.
What the?
I'm in.
What?
What?
Name that company sound.
I'm in for the win.
You don't get THX, but you're going to get this one, Amy?
Well, I got AMC Movie Theater. I mean, I knew it was in movies.
Yeah.
That was wrong, though.
But it was...
I know, but...
Okay, let's go to the answers, Eddie.
Nokia.
Lunchbox?
Taco Bell.
Amy?
Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
So dumb.
Yeah. Could you play that again? I guess it could kind of sound phony, but like
yeah,
phony.
Like a phone.
But, yeah. All right, last one.
Lose your pen.
Yep. I have another one.
Oh, man. That's one of the phone companies, obviously.
Shh, I didn't know that.
Shut up.
I'm in.
Lunchbox 4, Amy 3, Eddie 3.
Oh, play it again.
One more time.
Not that it's going to help me. I know it's the same phone, but.
Dang.
I don't know which phone company it is. But I wrote one down. Let's hope
what
it's
is
right.
That one.
Yep. Let's
dang.
Hope it's right.
Yeah, the one.
The one we need.
Amy, I need an answer.
Dang. The other one. I don't
three?
Know. Samsung.
No.
I know.
Eddie?
I have T-Mobile.
Lunchbox?
Dang it. I have Verizon.
Well, the answer is for T-Mobile.
Yeah!
Eddie,
it's a tie, baby.
Eddie ties it.
Let's go.
We're going to extra innings. Amy, dang. You're out.
Bye.
Bye, Amy.
I had no idea.
First time you miss one.
Okay, come on.
Here we go. You're writing it down. Writing it down. Just don't miss it. Here we go.
Oh, boy.
That quick, huh?
I'm in.
I have no idea. No idea. So stupid.
Wow, if you have no idea, that's surprising.
I mean, it's something I've heard, but I can't. I play it again. Oh, boy. I'll write that down. I don't know.
He's got to be playing possum.
He has to.
I feel
to.
Like he has to be.
Lunchbox?
I put Capital One.
Not playing possum.
Wow.
Eddie?
That's Home Depot. And Scuba, I would like to take that endorsement because he endorses for Home Depot.
How doers.
Oh, dang.
Send that
clip,
Scuba. I will take the endorsement.
Got him. Okay. The answer is Home Depot.
Go. On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Elizabeth and Damian Hurley.
Hey, good to see you guys. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us.
Hi, thanks for having us.
So I have a lot of questions. I want to start with you, Damian. We were talking about the movie before you guys came on. So you had this concept when you were like 17, 18 years old. Is that true?
Yeah, I first came up with this story in the aftermath of losing a very close friend of mine to suicide. And it was a really devastating time. You know, it was the first major loss me and many of my friends had ever known. And then my own father took his life about a year later. So I pulled on that a lot when I was coming up with the idea for this film.
So when did it go from concept to I'm going to start, you know, doing the granular work of actually writing it?
I wrote a treatment when I was 17, and then I just decided I was a little too young, a little too inexperienced to make it. I shelved it. The world fell apart. COVID happened. And then I made a short film after lockdown ended, which an executive at Lionsgate saw, and I got a call out of the blue when I just turned 20 saying, hey, we love your short film. Would you be interested in writing and directing a feature for us? And obviously it was terrifying, but also the most exhilarating thing ever. And I went away and I found this idea that I'd written when I was 17. And obviously, you know, in the time since then, I lost my father to suicide. My stepfather had also passed away. And I'd also just grown up a lot more. And I decided that I was ready to tell the story. And Strictly Confidential was born.
So the movie is out now, Strictly Confidential, with Elizabeth Hurley and her son, who's the director, the writer. Lunchbox is ready to go. Guys, this is Lunchbox. Lunchbox, you have a question?
Yeah, I got a question. So, you know, when you're making this movie and there's an intimate scene and you think, oh, my mom will be perfect for it, explain to me how that is. Codes cross
yeah,
your mind.
When I wrote this film, my mother's part was a man's role. And so it was a very different, I don't know if any of you have seen the film, it was a very different dynamic. It's no secret now, everyone knows this, my mother's role in it has an affair with a young woman.
Yeah.
And so it was a very interesting to shoot. So, you know, so when it came up, I decided to switch the sexes of this part, turn the man into a woman, and suddenly my mother was perfect for the role. It was interesting. But, you know, it's an independent film. We had 18 shooting days. So I've got to say, you know, every second counted, every minute mattered. We were so frantic racing around trying to get every scene that we didn't even have time to think about it too much.
Elizabeth is... You know, working with your son, he is your son, but now he's also your boss. Like, what was that? Where was that line moved from boss to back to being son? And how odd was that relationship?
Well, you know, it was mixed, but he'd sort of, in a very despotic way, been bossing me around since he was about eight, and I gave him his first camcorder. So he'd been making little mini movies. He'd chase us through airports with his camcorder. He'd make us do films on airplanes. We'd humiliate ourselves for him, basically. So, in fact, this was just one step further. And then it was this.
Luckily, a natural progression.
Yeah, it was a natural progression. So, in fact, working together from that point of view, we'd kind of been doing it for years.
Elizabeth, I got a question for you because you've been in our eyes on this big screen for a long time, a hottie that everybody has looked up to. How have you maintained being a hottie for so long? Because a lot of hotties come and go, and you have maintained being hot.
Well, thank you very much indeed for the compliment. Well, there's a bit of blood, sweat, and tears goes into it, really. When you're on camera, especially high-def cameras, you have to look out for yourself. You know, you have to watch what you eat. You have to do some exercise. You have to get enough sleep. You have to drink plenty of water. You know, same for everyone. There's no secrets. It's hard.
Was there a possible no, Elizabeth, in being in the movie whenever your son, if he approached you about it, or was it an immediate yes?
I'd promised him right back when he was eight that when he made a proper movie, I'd be in it. And as Damien just said, at first my part was tiny. But then when he changed the gender of the two grown-ups in the film, suddenly my part was way bigger. So that was a little more than I'd initially agreed to do. But I read it and it was just a great part to play. I hadn't played that sort of part before. I felt in very safe hands having Damien direct me. I knew he'd have my back. And it just suddenly seemed like the right thing to do. It was also filming in the Caribbean. It was just actually, I felt it was like a gift to give to my son, to give all that time for him to follow his dream. So it wasn't a hard decision to make, was it, baby?
Very kind.
Damien, whenever you watched it back full, because obviously you're going through the edit, this is your baby, and you've directed mm-hmm. it, you've watched it back a million times, scene by scene, but the first time you watched it all the way through as a whole piece, how did you feel about it? And in any way, had you just been so involved in it that maybe you couldn't even tell how good it was because you had spent every second on every second?
I was way too close to it. I still am, to be honest. I had to take a week where I was banned. I had to sort of slap myself on the wrist every time I even thought about the film's name, because otherwise you're so immersed in it that you don't view it as an audience viewing it for the first time. You view it as a psycho despot perfectionist, which I am. So, I still... The last time I watched it, finally now, right before just now, I felt really quite proud for the very first time. Up until then, I've been so frantic, just only seeing what I hate and what I need to change, what I need to cut, what I need to redo. But I love our movie. Really happy.
We got a little distance from it because we hadn't seen it all the way through for a good few months. So until we started doing screeners now, and the distance is actually really good. So we could stop saying, oh.
He only has three more questions, but he's been dying to do this interview. So, Lunchbox, another question?
Yeah, Elizabeth, I got a question. When you're doing scenes like this, does it guarantee more pay? And then also,
scenes like this?
Like the...
You're talking about the one scene. Why are you so hyper-focused on the one part?
Well, I haven't seen the movie. I just seen that clip. I've just seen it been talked about online.
Okay.
Hold on. And my follow-up question, it's a run-on sentence question, so it only counts as one. Like... Do you ever get in these makeout scenes in any movie or anything, and it's like, oh, that person's a terrible kisser. Like, can we recast, or how does that work?
No, I've never asked for someone to be recast on the quality of their kissing. Rest assured, that doesn't happen. Maybe it happens for some people. It's never happened for me.
I mean, you've never had a bad kiss because
another question you're asking. No, you only get two more.
No,
you only get two more. So if you're going to waste it.
No, I'm not going to waste it. Give me a second.
Because I'm asking real questions about the art. Questions.
Come back to me.
And you're asking questions that's embarrassing us.
No. You know what I do want to say, though?
What?
Elizabeth, you're shagadelic, baby. Yeah, baby.
You're insane.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Mike, what did you think? No, don't answer that.
That's another question. No, that's another question. No, that's a question.
Listen.
Elizabeth, will you answer that because we can cut him off?
I've been trying to dip my toe in the acting thing. And
No, let her answer the question that you asked.
Okay.
What'd you think, Elizabeth?
I've forgotten it. Oh, are there bad kisses?
No. Hey, Shagadelic, what'd you think of him doing that terrible impression?
Do you know what? It wasn't bad.
Okay.
Yes! That's what I'm talking about. Okay. Jeez.
Damien, what's success with this movie to you? Is it a number, like a box office number? Like, what is success here?
I hope everyone who watches it takes something really valuable away from it. You know, I think when you're making art in any capacity, you just hope people love it. You know, it's been well over a year of my life slaving and slogging every day, and I really hope I can bring something to people that they had, that they take away something they didn't have before they sat down to watch it. I really hope people like it.
And what would you say your favorite genre to watch is, Damien, versus now that you've completed this first full-length movie? Like, do you want to do another type of similar movie, or are you open to doing comedy? Like, what's the deal from here out?
You know, I think I love quite sensual mysteries. I think, I don't want to go full-scale thriller, horror, but I also don't like things too light. I think quite sexy, quite mysterious, quite chic. I love films that are beautiful. That's really, really important to me. And the film, funnily enough, that I'm putting together now as writer-director, which my mother will not star in but will produce as well, that's a little more grown up, a little more adult than what we've just made.
And European in feel.
Yeah.
And
a little more cinema.
A little more cinema.
Last question, Lunchbox.
Yeah.
This is it for
you. This is kind of for Damien, because, I mean, I've asked Elizabeth enough and I've told her how hot she is, and I feel like I don't want to creep her out.
Yeah.
I'm not in a creepy
way.
We're
beyond that. Go ahead.
So, yeah, Damien, I got a question. Like, did you know growing up that you had a hot mom? Oh, and, like, boy, what kind of pressure is, like, do your friends, like, oh, your mom's hot? Because I know when my friends' moms were hot, I'd be like, dude, can I come over because your mom's hot?
Luckily, I was at boarding school. No, it was, yes, of course. It's been a big part of my life. You know, my mom has been working with the Estee Lauder companies for nearly 30 years now. So, you know, beauty and photography and fashion have been a huge part of our lives always. So, yeah, it's a business. Everyone always makes a big deal of the fact that we take each other's pictures, super sexy pictures for Instagram. But it's business. It's showbiz. It's the same as doing this film.
Thank you, Lunchbox, for your questions.
Hey, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. Elizabeth, great to talk to you.
We're not hanging up. I want to mention another movie.
Great to
thing.
See you in person.
Yeah.
Strictly, and you too, Damien.
Strictly Confidential, in case you're just putting this on now, it's a story of a haunted young woman who finds herself drawn into the world of seduction, duplicity, and betrayal as she desperately tries to uncover the mystery surrounding her best friend's suicide. And it is you can watch it now. So it's in theaters and on demand. Where on demand?
Prime, Apple TV, almost any streamer, and in select theaters.
Awesome. Hey, thank you guys for being here. Damien, really cool to see you so passionate about doing this movie and getting into the art. Elizabeth, great to finally meet you, even if it's virtually. And we apologize for Lunchbox.
Oh, behave.
Okay. Thank you so much having us.
All right, bye, guys.
Bye. Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Bobby Bone Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Willowick, Ohio. A man went through the Burger King drive-thru, ordered 2 sausage, egg, and cheese croissants and hash browns. Pulls up to the window, and the guy goes, "That'll be $8. The guy goes, "No, no, no, you messed up my order. It should be $11.
Wait, hold on. He wants to pay more?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the guy goes, "No, no, no, we have a promotion going on, so I gave you a discount." The guy goes, "You're messing with me. It should be $11.
Oh, man.
Okay.
And the guy says, "No, no, no, sir. Like,
bro, just take his $11, by the way. If I'm working, after I get one, I'm taking the $11 and saying, okay, thank you. Have a nice day." So what's the guy do?
He pulls out a gun and says, "Why are you screwing with me? Why are you screwing with me?"
He pulls out a gun and makes him take his money. It's like a reverse robbery.
"Why are you charging me less?"
Where you pull out a gun. It's even like, you ever heard of these on the streets? They pull out a gun and put a gun like, "Okay, I'm going to give you all my money."
No.
You haven't heard about those? No, that's crazy, man. It's scary, but not really. All right, Lunchbox, that it?
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
Here's a voicemail from Aisha in Maryland.
Y'all were talking about how half of Americans feel like their car is part of the family, which got me thinking about our family, who has named all of our cars. My husband's truck is named Levi. My SUV is named Gracie. So, do y'all have any names for your cars? I feel like Lunchbox's Altima is such a legend that it has to have its own name.
So, not one that you make up now, but what, do you call your car anything, Amy?
No. No, I haven't named a car. My college car was named, but...
What was that?
Rosie.
Yeah. Eddie?
That's cute. Yeah, so in high school, I had a red Jeep just like mine, but it was a smaller one, and that was the little Twister.
And so now this one's Papa Twister.
Do you call it that?
Yeah, man.
Out loud?
Yeah, my kids know that. Papa Twister.
Go out to Papa Twister?
They're like, hey, what car are we taking? Papa Twister, boys. Let's go.
Lunchbox?
The Honey Wagon.
Okay.
What?
There's no chicks.
Why? Like Pooh Bear Honey? Like, what do you mean?
There's no chicks.
No, I used to get a lot of chicks in there, but then I can't really call that now because the wife's around.
So it's the secret name of it.
Yeah, now it's like on the down low.
Morgan, your Jeep?
I don't think so. I think I just called Jeep Jeep. Does that count as a nickname?
Sure.
Jeep Jeep.
It's like
Jeep,
naming Jeep. A dog dog. mine has a little thing where you have to like, on the, it says an app, and it's named Bobby Jr. But I don't really call it that. Bobby but it is Jr. named Bobby Jr. Because like, pick a name for your car. I was like, I ain't naming this thing. I don't even like it. Hope that's not what happens to the real Bobby Jr. You know? That's how
I don't even like him.
That's all I'm concerned about.
I used to like him.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you. You guys have a great rest of the day. We'll see you tomorrow. Lunchbox puts someone on blast tomorrow. Unless they want to come clean beforehand.
Yeah, anybody want to come clean real quick?
No.
No? Okay. No. That'll be tomorrow. Thank you guys. Have a great day. Bye, everybody. The Bobby Bones Show.
Like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.